All right, let's go to Luke chapter 12. It's kind of interesting because it's really going to kind of go along with the message here tonight. This is just something we read the other day, and I've been thinking about it ever since. And I was already thinking about some thoughts about this, and we read that, and it's going to be hard for me to see here tonight. I don't know. All right, Luke chapter 12, let's read verse 37. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Yes. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. Mm-hmm. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. All right. There's a great danger that you can know and expect Jesus to come. You can know he's coming and expect him to come and not be watching for him to come. Every one of us in here tonight, I guarantee you we would vehemently defend the fact that we believe he's coming. But are we watching for him to come? Or are we watching something else? We watching for Jesus to come, or are we watching all this around us? I mean, it's the first warning that Jesus always gave. And I could have got all the scriptures together, but to save time here, I'll just read one of them. First warning Jesus always gave when they asked him about the last days and when the end would be and how to know. And the first words out of his mouth always was, take heed that ye be not deceived. That's the greatest danger of the last days, is that you'll be deceived. That you'll think you're watching for him and you're really not. There were 10 virgins. 5 of them were really watching. And they were prepared. 5 of them were not. They thought they were. They had their lamps. They had everything. But they just didn't have oil in their lamps. And the Lord came and they got left behind. Because they weren't ready. So that first warning is, take heed. In Luke chapter 21, verse 8, and he said, take heed that ye be not deceived, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ. And the time draweth near. Go ye not therefore after them. Did you get that? He said there's going to be a lot of them coming, saying that I'm Christ, and that the time is drawing near. Don't go after them. That's a warning to you from the Word of God, from Jesus himself, about following after all of these prophecy people who just focus on that.
Right. Amen.
If you are saved, the grace of God teaches you to look for him to come.
Yes, sir. Sure.
You don't need somebody to remind you all the time. Now remember, he's coming. He's coming. Oh yeah, yeah. I'm watching. No, that's not how it is. There's going to be a lot of people who think they're watching for Jesus to come while they really are not. He said, in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Such an hour as you think not. There is also this danger of being distracted with all that's going on in the last days. You reckon?
Yes.
It's hard to keep your eyes off of it. It's hard to keep from looking again to see what's happened overnight or during the day. Or this morning when you come in for lunch, you got to look and see what's happened now. What city's burning now? Who's in the news now? What's happened now? I mean, it's always something. Boy, they're keeping the world going with their fear-mongering and their excitement and their drama.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Luke 21, verse 25 and 26. This is what Jesus said now. He's talking about the last times. He said, and there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. Don't get distracted with all that. Don't get distracted with the waves of roaring. The psalmist said, though, the mountains be removed and cast into the midst of the sea, I'll not fear. And now, there's a virus and everybody's, oh, They're burning up the cities. Oh, you know, we're afraid of everything. There's a storm coming. Oh. But the real people of God, the Bible describes completely different. They're separate from all of this. And they're not afraid of all this stuff that's going on. They're not distracted with it. That's the great danger.
Yes, sir.
Of being distracted with it all. Men's hearts failing them for fear. Last times, the last days are going to be characterized by men's hearts failing them for fear of those things and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken. So, he paints the picture pretty clear. Look around you. Looks kind of like that, don't it? Well, all through the 2,000 years since Jesus was walking this earth, it's been times when it was bad times. You can go back through history, and if you'd have lived in some of those times, you would realize that the earth's always been a dangerous place. It's always been a sinful place, a place filled with deceit and lies and distractions. But in the last days, these things are going to be magnified so that the people of God, if it be possible, even the very elect are going to be deceived.
Yep.
Better watch your step. Better watch for Jesus.
Yes.
Better get this tonight. This is important here. So, Luke 21, let's read down in verses 34 through 36. There's a whole lot to read there, but we won't read it all. Jesus just said again, he said, "And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, so that that day come upon you unawares." Don't just get so involved. I mean, you better take heed to yourself, Jesus said, because in those days, it's going to be so easy to get your mind distracted and your mind occupied and your life so busy with other things that you're just not even going to be paying attention. That's what that means. Take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. That's what we're seeing now. Everything's global. You get a virus, it's global. Everything's that way. These riots, that's what that's going to end up being. The whole world's going to be like that.
Yes.
Everything we experience it worldwide. He said the whole world. The snare is going to come upon the whole world as a snare. It's just like Henry in the Great Society. You can't get out of it. You're in it. And you want out. And you know this is not what you want to be and how you want to live. But you're stuck in the squirrel cage, the rat race. Jesus said, you better take heed to yourself.
Yes, sir.
It's going to take some real discipline, spiritual discipline, to keep yourselves. Take heed to yourself in these last days. So that you'll be watching for Jesus to come and not be watching all this other stuff going on. It's certainly a fact. Well, now, wait a minute. Let me read the rest of that. I mean, for as the snare shall come upon all them dwell on the face of the whole earth, one more line. It says, "Watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man." So it's certainly a fact that there's a lot of people who say they believe Jesus is coming soon. It's common to hear that. It's common for us to say that. But it's really, I'm afraid that it's more like just a cliche. It's like a go-to default statement that we make when we're just despairing of the world. When we just say, there ain't no answers, ain't no hope for the world. Jesus is coming.
Yeah.
And so we... And in doing that, and in thinking that way, we think that we're watching for Him by having that in our mind. There's a lot of people who say they believe Jesus is coming soon, but it's also a fact that there are few who are truly watching for Him. And that's the whole message tonight. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when He cometh, shall find watching. Most people are watching, but they're not watching for Jesus to come. Right. That's just a fact. They're watching world events, and they're consumed with it. And I'm talking about the people in the churches, the people who live the strictest lives. I know lots of people, and this is convicting to even me. I mean, I realize, man, we've got too much of our mind involved in all this. We're taking too much of our time. We're using too much of our mental and our physical strength and time listening and watching all this stuff.
Yep.
Most people are watching what the world's doing. They're watching, but they're not watching for Jesus to come. They're watching world events, and they think that because they can logically tie them to the last days in the Bible that it talks about, that they're watching for Jesus to come. People feel like they're spiritual because they can look at all that's happening, and they can figure out how, boy, that's just what the Bible says, and that's what's kind of, you know, and they think they're really more spiritual because they're talking that and relating that. And really, it's just a fascination and a what's the word?
Curiosity.
Yeah, sort of. That's
novelty.
It's just something to focus on that makes you feel like you're waiting on Him to come. But that's not waiting on Him to come. Everybody's trying to figure it all out. They're not watching for Jesus. They're watching the world events. They're constantly trying to figure out what's going on and what's coming next. And as if that's the key to wisdom and understanding and being right with God. Well, I'm telling you, ain't nobody knows what's coming next. And ain't nobody knows what's going on right now. We got all of our theories, and there's evidence of this and evidence of that, but there ain't no way that the wisest man in our country even knows what's going on. I keep trying to tell people, this is not just the Illuminati, and it's not all the Masons, and it's not all this stuff we've heard all these years. Men are not smart enough to do what's being done. It's the devil himself. It's the god of this world, little g. He's the prince and the power of the air. He's the one that's running this world system, and we've been told about it from the very beginning of the Word of God, what's going to happen and what He's going to do. And we should not be trying to blame all this on men, and we shouldn't be trying to figure out who's doing it and who's to blame and how to stop it. We ain't going to do it.
Nope.
We ought to be looking for Jesus to come.
Yes, right.
And while we're waiting, Gary, we ought to be working. Doing the work of God. Not the... as what Gary's been preaching on for 5 weeks. Working while you wait. Staying busy doing what you're supposed to be doing while we're waiting on Him to come. Mm-hmm. Not just all involved in the world and all fascinated with all of that and our mind all entangled with all of the things that are coming to pass in this world. Jesus said it's a snare and it'll get you.
Right.
You're going to fall into it if you ain't careful. You're going to have to walk very carefully in the last days. Because if it's possible, even the very elect's going to be deceived. They're going to think they're right when they're not. They're going to think they're looking for Him, and He's going to get them by surprise. Because in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man come. He's going to come when you're not looking. When you're not watching.
Yep.
And He said, blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when He cometh, shall find watching.
Yes.
Now, they're constantly trying to figure all this out, and by getting their information from propaganda machines of the world run by the devil himself. Trying to figure out what's going to happen next and who's behind this and all, you know, Antifa and the Republicans and the Democrats and the Russians and who else? And who's telling you all that stuff? Where are you getting all that information? From the Bible? Now, they don't say nothing about all that. Nope. No, getting it right out of the same slop trough that the world's getting all of their information out of.
Right.
And we ridicule and criticize and put down liberals for listening to this liberal media and swallowing all the slop. doing the same thing.
Exactly right.
Many people are simply watching other people and what they're doing and saying. They're not watching for Jesus. And I'm talking about people that sit in church. Instead of watching for Jesus to come, they're watching Fox and CNN and Facebook and YouTube. And that's where they get all their information. Or they listen to Rush Limbaugh or Alex Jones or some of the other armies of male and female talkers on the radio and the internet and the TV and the podcast and every other way that there is. There's 100 different ways now for everybody to get their voice out there and talk. And I used to listen to them and I got sick of it. You know, I got sick of hearing nothing but a blowhard. And I finally figured out they're everyone just doing it to make money. Rush Limbaugh got filthy rich. Just by being a blowhard. That's right. I don't care if it offends people or not. I used to listen to him with his raunchy music and everything else, and he was very rude to any Christians or anything like that. Anybody bring up Bible or anything like that, back in those days, he would cut them off right now. He would have no patience for it. But he was conservative. And so all the people liked, the people in church and all that, they liked to hear him ridicule and make fun of Ted Kennedy and Bill Clinton and Hillary. And it was funny. Yeah, it was funny, but it was entertainment. And he got rich entertaining people. And we talk about hiring liberal preachers that just say, tell the people what they want to hear. And that's what they're doing.
Right.
And getting rich by doing it.
Yes, sir.
Yep.
And every one of them is that way. Every one of them. Get rich doing it. And that's why they're doing it. They ain't doing it to save America. They ain't doing it to make life better for you. And instead of reading the Bible and looking for Jesus to come and being doing what he sent us here to do, we're listening and watching these guys and these women. Now it's a whole army of women. Blah, 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 blah.
Yes.
It's offensive to me.
Yes,
I don't care. If that's offensive to you, I want you to know that's offensive to me.
Yes.
It's totally out of place and wrong.
Amen.
You know, I don't care if everything they say is right. That Ann Coulter, she was a loudmouth, smart aleck, arrogant thing, and look what she's turned out to be.
Yep. Sellout.
Yeah. Judge Jeannie, she gets on there and I used to watch her say, you know, blah, 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 and then I got to thinking, you know, no, I don't like this. That's right. Anyway, our one crowd watches and listens to the liberal, ungodly, socialistic talkers, and the other crowd listens to the so-called conservative, but not religious, talkers. That's what it is.
Yep.
Being conservative is not being a Christian.
That's right.
Far, far big difference there.
Yes.
But now it's all got blended together. And Christians have far, far too much patience and tolerance for these conservatives.
Mm-hmm.
Like Rush Limbaugh. They cuss and talk filthy.
Yeah.
And they're immoral and ungodly. But because they're Republican, the people in church put up with them.
Yep.
And call him a hero.
Yep.
Many just watch other people play. That's good enough for them. That's all they do. With their superior mental capacity, they watch ball games. They watch car races.
Yeah.
They watch horse races.
Mm-hmm.
They watch acting. They watch pornography. And they listen to music. Hey, I'm not talking about... You wouldn't believe the number of people who sit in church services every week who are in that group right there that I just described.
Yes, sir.
They don't have no life in Christ. They listen to music, man. They love sports. That's what they watch. They're not watching for Jesus. They're not watching to do His work. They're just watching other people play.
Yep.
Most people are not looking for the Son of God to come. They're looking for a human hero to come out and save us from all this mess that the world has got itself into. That just struck me the other day. I listened to this preacher and I thought, you know, everything he said was right, but mercy. You know? Trump is not going to save us.
That's right. That's right.
Ain't nobody going to save us except God. Let me just say some things to you here. Most people are thinking just like the people were in the time when Jesus came the first time. Their main concern is the state of the world and the powers that are in control there. Politics. They were all looking. Even the apostles couldn't get it out of their mind that Jesus was there to fix all this Roman oppression and mess they were in. And restore the kingdom. Fix this immoral mess. But he wasn't come to do that. And that's not what he did. And he's not coming. When he comes for his bride, he's not going to do that then either. The main concern, now they're not looking forward to eternity as their hope. They're dwelling on the hope of changing things here on this earth. And I hear these same guys, these Baptist preachers who put down the latter rain people, the Pentecostals who believe that we're going to just have a great revival and it's just going to spread over the earth. And then right before Jesus comes, and so the church can present the world to Jesus, all saved and wonderful. Now that's what they believe and preach. And then Baptist preachers believe that we can vote them in, and we can vote them out, and we can fix this problem. Same, ain't no difference. Ain't no difference in the two crowds. We are not going to vote them out, and we are not going to vote them in. And if we vote them in, they're not going to fix the problem. And and it's never worked. We've always been disappointed and had our hopes dashed in every president and everybody that got elected that was going to stand for what's right. They get in there and they don't. They play the politic compromise game, money in their pockets, and they all end up well off and sold out. It's a dirty, rotten, filthy world that's filled with wickedness. And you better not put your hopes there. Better not put your cares there. You better look for Jesus to come. And not just as a way to fix all this mess. Not a way to get out of this mess. You ought to be looking for Him to come for a different reason than that. Most people think we can change the course of things by voting for politicians and just getting the right people in the high places. And we're always disappointed and let down with this empty hope and fruitless strategy for turning back evil in this world. Those who are truly looking for Jesus to come will be preaching the gospel and trying to win people back to a holy God down on the ground level, not in the high places. Jesus didn't do that. Neither did any of the apostles. They didn't try to change the wicked government under which they lived and carried on their ministry. That was not there. They didn't concern themselves with that one bit. You can't show me in the Bible where they concerned themselves with Caesar at all. Caesar was Caesar. Render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar, and unto God the things which are God's. That's the most important. They didn't try to change government. They didn't politic. They didn't get involved in it, didn't concern themselves with it at all. They just preached the gospel everywhere they went. And they worked on the hearts of people. I want you to know something. It is God who does that from His throne in heaven, changes the who's in the high places. Who's on the thrones? The Bible says so over and over and over. It's God that raises up kings. It's God that puts them down. The powers that be are ordained of God. He put them there. He does that. We don't do that by voting. You don't believe that, do you?
No, I don't.
And the problem is the degenerate human race and the state we're in. And it's not going to be fixed by putting better men in office. Changing our government around, that's not going to change the problem. The problem's going to have to be fixed down on in the homes, in the living rooms, and the street corners, and where people work. There's where it'll be changed. It's God who changes things around in the high places from His throne in heaven according to the moral condition of the people, and particularly the moral condition of those people who are known as His people. It's the people of God. That's why the Bible says, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I'll hear from heaven and I'll heal their land. That's the recipe. It ain't at the polls. It ain't in politics. It ain't in campaigning. It ain't in rioting. It ain't in none of that stuff. Nope. It ain't hobnobbing with the big shots. Nope. They didn't even try to change the leadership in the high places in the apostate organized religion of their day. They didn't try to oust the chief priests or take over the synagogue or do any of that thing. They just came out from among them and were separate,
yes,
like the Lord said to do.
Yes,
left them to their slop. Left them to their... They didn't try to change everything. But we got to do something because they're going to persecute us. Let them persecute us. God will protect us.
Yes,
God will deal with them. And He did. And He still will. They went about preaching the Word of God and made it possible for God to change the high places in men's hearts. It really matters very little what kind of man or woman sits in the high places of government. Doesn't make any difference. Look at the Supreme Court. Everybody thought John Roberts was going to be a good man. He sides with the liberals every time. He's a turncoat. He's a sheep, a wolf in sheep's clothing. You get disappointed every time? So it doesn't really matter. You know, this guy just got in there a year or so, 2 years ago, whatever, and they had all the uproar about it. You know, they had to keep him out of there, blah, blah. I just wonder how really conservative he really is. Yeah.
No, he's not.
No. Of course not. But everybody fought tooth and nail to defend him and get him in there. I've looked back through and studied that some. And some of the best Supreme Court justices were appointed by Democrats. Some of the worst ones were appointed by Republicans.
Wow.
Yeah, and how'd that happen? Yeah! Yes, God. God, He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh.
Yeah.
We're going to do this. We're going to fix this. We're going to make it work. God laughs at them. The most important matter for now and eternity is who sits in the high places of men's hearts here and now. Does God rule in the hearts of men? That's our concern. That's our business. And that's what we're to be doing until the day Jesus comes. Preaching the gospel. Being a witness. Being an example. Being an influence for God. An ambassador for Christ. Representing Him right in this world that we live in.
That's right.
And not be fooling with all of that stuff and not be preoccupied with all of it and carried away with it.
Right.
Forget it.
Yes.
Try it. Just turn it off. Forget it. It don't matter.
No,
what am I going to change about it anyway? Little old nobody here in the middle of nowhere, and what is it? Who cares what I think about their politics? Who cares what I can do about it? I can't do one thing, and neither can you, and neither can anybody else.
Nope.
There's better things for me to be doing.
Yes, sir.
And if I believe Jesus is coming, I'll be doing better things.
Yes,
those who are watching for Jesus to come have a pilgrim's attitude toward this world and its present condition. This world, all this stuff, this is not my home.
No.
I'm just passing through here. I'm not worried a bit about what y'all do because I'm out of here pretty soon. One way or another, whatever it is, I'm going to be gone. And you all, it's your deal to deal with, not mine. You won't listen to me anyway. You despise what I believe, I despise what you believe. I don't belong here. You don't want me here, and I don't want to be here.
Right.
You can come and go with me. If you'll change your mind, if you'll throw away all of your cares about this world and love for it, God will accept you too.
Yes, sir. Sure.
But you got to do what I did and what every Christian's supposed to do, should do, will do if you're really saved. There's got to be a point where you turn on this world and throw it away.
Yes.
Done with it. I belong to Jesus now. And I'm looking for Him to come. So those who are watching for Jesus have a pilgrim's attitude. You don't love the world. Now, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Cares of life, the deceitfulness of sin. Micah 2:10 says, "Arise ye and depart, for this is not your rest." I like that. Because it is polluted, it shall destroy you, even with a sore destruction. Amen.
Yep.
Arise ye, depart. Well, that's what I want to do. As soon as He comes, I'm going to arise and depart from this world. Amen. Goodbye, world, goodbye.
Yep.
Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 9, "There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God." Because they do not belong in this world. And by the same token, the Bible says, "There is no rest, saith God, to the wicked." They ain't getting no rest. They never going to rest. Day or night, forever and ever, when they die and go to hell, they'll never rest. But no matter how bad it gets for the Christian here, there remaineth therefore a rest for the people of God. And then in Luke chapter 12, verse 35 and 36, Jesus said this, "Let your loins be girded about." Now He's talking about watching. This is what you're supposed to be doing in the last days while you watch for Him to come. "Let your loins be girded about and your lights burning, and ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord." Well, I don't have to read the rest of the verse. "That when He cometh and knocketh, they may open unto Him immediately."
Yes.
He's kind of reminding you there of the virgins, isn't He? Lights are burning. Have your lights all trimmed and ready. If you're watching, you're going to be ready. "Every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself." 1 John chapter 3 and verse 3. If you're watching for the Lord to come back, you will be living right.
That's right.
"Every man that hath this hope in him." What hope? That Jesus is coming. That's the context that it's out of. "Every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." You're going to be living right. You ain't going to be a playing with sin. You ain't going to be a dipping in it. You ain't going to be a toying with it. And a watching it. You're going to be looking for Him. Purify yourself. And then He said there, I just want to read this one more time. "Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when He cometh, shall find watching." There's a lot more I could say about all this, but a lot more thoughts I've got about it. But anyway, just get the message tonight that, you got to be watching for Him to come. If you're watching for something, that means you're paying attention diligently.
Mm-hmm.
You're not just occupied with something else and just glancing once in a while. You're not keeping yourself busy and then just waiting until you hear some commotion or something and then looking. Right. No, you're watching. Not looking for evidence that He's coming, just watch for Him to come. Do you get up in the morning and think this might be the day? Or do you get up in the morning and thinking about what all I got to do today and what I'm going to do today and how I'm going to get this day done? And what if He interrupts you right in the middle of it? Are you ready to just throw it all to the wind? Yeah. When Him is in the field, not return to His house. Just forget it. Nothing I want to take with me. Yeah. It'd make us a lot happier if we were watching for Him to come. We say we believe in, but we don't. We just kind of turn to it like we do prayer. It's just the last thing we do. If we get to feeling bad, first thought, run to the doctor. And when the doctor says, "Ain't nothing more I can do for you, you're going to die," then it's, "Oh, everybody, pray. Please pray for me. Pray. Pray hard.
Yeah.
Keep them prayers coming. I can feel them." But it's no prayer until everything else is exhausted.
Yes.
Don't this business of watching for Jesus. Don't do that way.
No.
Don't just get all, look at everything every day in the noon and say, oh man, it's getting bad here. Well, I wish the Lord would come.
Yeah.
Well, I wish He would too. But it's not just to, not so that I can be unclothed, but that I can be clothed upon, as the Bible says. A lot of people aren't, they think they're watching, but they're not, because they've got such fantasy ideas of what the eternity holds. We're just going to shift right out of here. We're going to be beamed out of the earth right back into heaven, and it's going to be just like it was here. We're just going to continue on with our happy life. Rednecks and banjo pickers and motorcycle gangs and everything. It's going to be there, and we're just going to keep on doing what we're doing. Big family reunion, and that's what so many people think heaven is going to be. And they're watching for that, and it's not going to happen. Eternity's not going to be like that. One guy asked Jesus that, and he said, you do err, not knowing the Scriptures nor the power of God. For in heaven, the angels, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God. Of course, they didn't understand that, just like most people now don't understand it. So shallow, spiritually minded, that they can't even begin to grasp anything except this, what I just said, this idea of heaven being a family reunion and just a great big camp meeting from here on out. Or if you're a camp meeting kind of person, if you're a beer drinking, motorcycle riding, it's just going to be that forever. Whatever made you happy here is going to make you happy there, they think. No, hell's going to be full of that kind of stuff. Heaven ain't. Oh, well, I know. I've always got to offend people, but I'm just telling you the truth. Better wake up and realize eternity is not. And if you're watching for Jesus to come, for all of that, that's your expectation, you're not watching for the right Jesus.
No.
No.
That's right.
Oh, been saved 40-some years, and how many times have I thought about it? Yeah. But then how, if I'm really honest, how much have I really been watching for Him? Oh, there's been moments, yeah. I'd look at the sky and say, Lord, it'd just be good. When are you ever going to come? When are you going to part those clouds and come? But that ought to be our mindset all the time. Any moment, any second. It's going to happen. In the moment, in the twinkling of the eye. We'll all be changed. We were reading, where was that? We was reading the other day. In Corinthians, and it was taught, and it just laid it all out there, just exactly the same. Dead in Christ, going to rise first, and then we which are alive and remain. And He said it over and over in different ways there. Reiterated it, just how it's going to be. Well, even so, the last words in the Bible, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Amen. All right, Father, thank You for the Word of God. And thank You for the reminder from these verses that we should be watching. Please help us, Lord, to be watching and not be drunken on this world, not be so overcharged with the cares of life and all of the things that are going on and all the pressure that's on us. Lord, help us to be looking for Your Son from heaven, please. We do ask You to come quickly. We're not those that say, wait a little longer, please, Jesus. We want You to come. The sooner the better. And Lord, we love You for the promise that You give us here. It's such an encouragement to our heart. What a great thing that we have to live with and to hope for and to look forward to. It's the blessed hope of the glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Please help us to remember these things in Jesus' name. Amen.